and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. May I speak to you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christ is the great unifier, and today we are taken up in and through him by the outpouring and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If it can seem incredible that the very same apostles of the church, who are sinful, doubting, unable to stay awake with Christ on the night of his betrayal, who repeatedly denied him, yet despite all of this, God, the Holy Spirit, descends into their very inner being, giving life to their hardened hearts. It all points to the unsearchable depths of God's mercy, God's love for all of us. This is a call for unity. Paul tells the Corinthian converts in his first epistle, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." As followers of Christ, we are each called to be united. In spite of our individual and local differences, in building up the one church of God. Division, disagreement, schism are not new to our life or our generation. They exist. And often, the possibility for unity seems so out of reach, just even hoping for unity can be like a burden which is too great to bear. But the insistence of Pentecost, its call upon us, is never giving up, never letting up on seeking unity, never being satisfied with where we are. From the moment of our baptism and our confirmations, God, the Holy Spirit, is guiding us and loving him and each other as much as we can to loving him and loving one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, without reserve, without conditions, quite simply, loving without limits. Jesus said unto his disciples, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Our prayer can never be for mere mutual toleration of the other. Our prayer must be to learn to give everything for love, beyond what we think we are capable of. The early church experienced the constant threat of splinter movements and various factions, each claiming to follow the leadership and authority of one leader or another. This is one of the reasons why Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were breaking up in that one city into followers of Paul, into followers of Peter, followers of Apollos. Paul reminds them strongly that these human leaders are all equally servants of one Christ. Christ, therefore, should be our focus. The disunity of Christians is a scandal that weakens the Christian witness to the world. Surely, our attention and love must be fixed on healing, a desire for reconciliation, and unity. I don't mean by this simply divisions across denominations, but the kind of divisions that are to be found within one church, within any church, within our church. What we cannot, must not, allow ourselves to do is give into temptation, except that our church cannot be wholly united in love. We must be clear that unity is a real goal and a goal to strive for. And this is possible because unity has, in some ultimate sense, already been won and freely given for us by Christ through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. We have all received the very same Holy Spirit in our baptism. We are told that the day of Pentecost, the disciples were all together in one place at Jerusalem, just as they had all been in one place in Jerusalem on the night of Jesus' betrayal at the Passover. The Holy Spirit publicly descends on the individuals as a gathered community of believers, not the individual alone. And in this, I think there is more than just symbolism on show. It is only within a particular community that we can put love into practice. We cannot love in the abstract, but only in the day-to-day dealings with the other. I would like to suggest that this is an invitation for all of us to discover a deeper level of unity and oneness in Christ and the Church in and through one another. But as I started out by saying, the apostles had their differences. They each sought to uphold their faithfulness, their distinctive gifts. Peter and Paul had different witnesses of one living God. Paul publicly disagreed with Peter on whether Jewish Christians could eat together with Gentile Christians. Peter would go on to criticize Paul in his epistle, pointing out that many things Paul says are, well, difficult to understand. Even the great friends, Paul and Barnabas, also had their differences, as we read later in Acts. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. How often have we departed asunder from our friends, our family, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? If not physically, then behind the closed door of our hearts and our minds. Even in the positive circumstance of the rich outpouring of the Spirit's power, the early church experienced a diversity of gifts and had to discern direction together in the face of different perspectives, all faithfully held. But the apostles did not always agree with each other. They agreed in their faithfulness to Christ. They each came to know deeply the love of God that rooted and grounded them together in the body of Christ. Their unity was achieved in Christ by the inner working of the Holy Spirit. If the 12 apostles did not always agree in life, they were prepared to agree in death. Their hardened hearts were transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak with boldness the truth of the gospel to the four corners of the world. And with the possible exception of John, tradition holds all the apostles suffered martyrdom at the hands of the authorities. The light of the gospel that they proclaimed through their ministry and preaching, and indeed their own deaths, is the very light of Christ, which is more purifying, more comforting, more forgiving, more liberating, more unifying than any human endeavor can ever be. Their unity was made one and perfected in Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We must resist the temptation for schism. The challenge for all of us is how to discern the difference between division and diversity. Because the Feast of Pentecost reminds us today that Christian unity, like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is not simply a unity in uniformity, if only the other would just be like me, but a unity that is to be found in embracing diversity, the manifold gifts of the Spirit through the other. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. The promise, the Spirit, poured out from the Father and the Son, is the same. The paths we are called to walk on our Christian pilgrimage can often look very different. The ultimate example of unity and diversity is the blessed and holy Trinity, one God in three distinct persons, holy and perfectly united. Here we see distinction and equality of the three persons. I don't want to look around the church and only see people who look like me, were raised like me, think and act like me. That is also a scandal to the Christian witness of the world. That would be uniformity, not unity. The Holy Spirit descends, pours out not one single tongue, but many flaming tongues of fire. Unity embraces diversity. This is what Christ does, how we see Christ reach out in his earthly ministry and what he has won for us. Christ calls many different voices to build his church, to be living stones. We see this in the theme over again in the Gospels, and we see this in the Lord's great commission to the apostles. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are included, one in another, in Christ. That is the eternal reality established in him. That is reality, whose pledge we have in the singular Spirit that descends and dwells in each of us. That doesn't mean I stop striving for unity in the here and now. Quite the opposite. We are united, one in another, in the Spirit of the Lord. That doesn't mean I stop striving for church unity in this world. Again, quite the opposite. But it does mean that we can trust in a deeper unity that we have yet experienced, a longer hope. We can trust in it because it depends on God's faithfulness, not ours. As Christians, we trust that the truest thing about you and me is that we are loved by Christ and made free in that love. The supreme gift of the Spirit is love, the divine love that creates and sustains all things, the love that in Jesus gives itself to heal and renew all things. As the psalmist sings out to God, when thou lettest thy breath, Spirit, go forth, they are made, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The apostles had their differences. We have our differences. The apostles could experience their differences and still trust in this deeper unity. They knew their cornerstone was Christ. They were united in his love. Diversity is where the fullness of the divine image is being made manifest. Unity is the means by which it is revealed to be nothing other than love. It is in striving to have one mind that we encounter love himself. It is in our human union that the life of the Trinity is made flesh as the body of Christ. And it is this body, with all its unique members, that the Spirit is seeking to unite in the church, in our church, and in the relationships of each and every one of us here this morning. Today, the church reminds us on this great feast of Pentecost that even though as individuals and local communities, our theologies, our temperaments, our personalities may vary widely and profoundly challenge us, we are not licensed to let that divide us. We must all be, first and foremost, of the one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and alive in the one Holy Spirit, the beloved children of one Heavenly Father. Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire, enlighten with celestial fire. Thou the anointing Spirit art, who dost thy sevenfold gifts impart. Amen.